This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
That's the marvel of God and His Spirit and His ability to be able to talk to you about something that's going on in your life and talk to you about something that's going on in your life, and how that all happens, only He can do. So my exhortation to you would simply be to, you know, expect something from heaven. You know, and I will guarantee you that the Spirit of God will meet you where you are, talk to you about your situation, and help you. How many of you know He wants to help us? Amen. Amen. Thank God He wants to help us, because some of us need some real help. Amen. And so, I'm so glad He's not through with us yet. Aren't you glad that He's not through with your spouse yet? Yeah, right. Amen. Oh, Lord. So anyway, let's bow our heads together. We'll get into the Word. Father, thank You for this privilege. We're so grateful, Father God, that we can gather in the name of Jesus, unhindered, unchecked. Father, there's so many things that are going on in the world today, Father, that make us grateful for what it is that You've done and what it is You provided. And so we just thank You for Your grace and blessing. And again, Father, we thank You tonight for guidance by the Spirit of God, utterance in the Holy Ghost, to speak as would be the oracles of God for the needs that are represented in this group of people here tonight and those that are watching online. And so we just thank You, Father God, for Your mercy, Your goodness, Your kindness to all of us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You know, Apostle Paul, when he was writing one of his letters to Timothy, he said that, you know, the Spirit speaks expressly. That's what the King James Bible says. Could say it this way, the Spirit speaks with concern that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, I think we're there. And it seems very perilous. It gives description as to what would happen at that time, and we see the manifestations of that are going on in the world. So, having said that, you know, if you don't place your faith in the right spot, it can be pretty disconcerting. But if you put your faith in the right place, you don't have to be worried at all. Now, you know, some people would think that maybe that's an exaggeration of comment, but it really is true. Because the Bible tells us not to be careful about anything. Never be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it said, and the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. Yeah, that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, it doesn't make sense that you're at peace. But I'm telling you, the Prince of Peace, if you're born again, lives in you, and He will keep you. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for that? Especially, again, in the days that we're living in. You know, now see what I told you about me being conflicted? Let's go to the 11th chapter of John, and let me share with you something here that I think will be of value in terms of what we're talking about here tonight. I want you to know that for as much as everything that is going on in the world, your Heavenly Father does not want you to be with care. And I realize there's any number of things and a whole myriad of things that are going on in the world. But if we keep our eyes on the right thing, it's kind of like, you know, when Peter walked on the water, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But, you know, when he started looking around at the circumstances and the foreboding kind of situation that he found himself to be in, he began to sink. Now, thank God Jesus was merciful to the man. And he reached out and picked him up. But, you know, the thing is that Jesus still questioned him and said, why did you doubt? See, God doesn't want us to doubt in His faithfulness. He doesn't want us to doubt in the integrity of His Word. He doesn't want us to be filled with care, worry, and anxiety. And that comes as a result of our doubt and sometimes even unbelief. You know, it's one thing to doubt. You're just kind of like, you know, not real sure. It's another thing to be in unbelief. To be in unbelief means unpersuadableness. In other words, you won't be persuaded. Thomas was that way. You know, he just said, I don't care what you say. Unless I can see, I'm not going to believe. Well, 8 days later, Jesus walked through the wall and said, Thomas, don't be faithless, but believing. Huh? Yeah, he said, because you've seen, you believe, but blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. And that's where we are tonight. We believe in him, amen? Amen. And we believe in his word. But we really do have to really give attendance to, in an intentional kind of way, to what it is that he said in the moments of our lives when we're dealing with whatever it is that we're dealing with. And so something here that Jesus talked about, he was within, you know, his earthly ministry, he was in a particular area ministering, and he'd basically, I wouldn't say that he got ran out, but it had got pretty heated, because, you know, when God calls people to repentance, when you're a sinner, sometimes they don't like that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But the reality is, truth is truth wherever you find it. And so Jesus left that area and happened to be near the place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus had been raised. They were the two sisters and a brother. And Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick. And the Bible tells us that he made the declaration, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And of course, God was glorified when he raised him from the dead, not because he died. Now, the reason I bring this to your attention is because he told his disciples that they were going back where they came from. And the disciples said, Jesus, I don't know that that's a really good idea. Don't you recall just not long ago, all those people wanted to stone us? Remember that? So this is what Jesus said. And I'm using this as an example in the context of sometimes when we see the things that are going on in the world today that are somehow threatening and disconcerting, you know, that type of thing, that there's an attitude. You know, the Bible tells us to have this attitude in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus. We're to take his lead. He said, I've given you an example. So we need to follow that lead that we might be conformed into the image of God's dear Son and live within the context of the peace that he has given to us. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. He said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let me ask you a question. Who is it that has the responsibility to not let their heart be troubled? We do, right? You know, in other words, we're not going down this path, we're gonna go down his path. We're not gonna listen to that the world is preaching, we're gonna listen to what it is that God is saying. And so you'll notice here, you know, they said, it's not a good idea that we go back there, man. We just got out of there with, you know, nearly without our lives. And Jesus, he makes this statement, and I wanna read it to you. This is John chapter 11, and I gotta jump in here someplace. Verse 8, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone you, and you're going back there again? You know, I mean, in the natural, that's not a good idea. Notice what he says. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. I tell you what, I'm so glad tonight, praise God, to have the light of life in me because of the new birth, to be born again. So I'm saying that in the context to simply say, you and I, we're to walk in the light as he's in the light. The Bible says we have fellowship one with another. How many of you know he will guide you? He will keep you. He will protect you. He will show you the way in which you should go. And I don't think there's anything more important in these last days than to know how that works. Amen. So that we don't step into the traps of the adversary or the things that the world offers. He goes on then to say, in verse 10, that if a man, again, says, if he walks in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. Then he goes on and makes the rest of the explanation. So I'm just saying to you that simply, you know, even though he was re-entering a place that was very hostile, yet he knew that if he was walking within the divine counsel of his Father, that he would be okay. And guess what? He was. And he went and he raised him from the dead, thank God, and a lot of other things happened. This is leading up to, of course, when he went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. I don't know the chronological time frame of it, but you know, when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he was staying in Bethany for those 3 days, coming back and forth and different things, one of the big issues, they all wanted to see Lazarus. Because they'd heard that he had died and that he was buried and he was raised from the dead. So I think that all of this is within that time frame and context. But again, the main point I want to share, not to get, I kind of got off there, but the main point is that he will care for us. How many of you believe that tonight? You know, so if you've come this evening and maybe there's a lot of concerns that you have, some of you that are working with Samaritan's Purse, you know, you've left home with things that are going on back there or whatever, I'm telling you that your Heavenly Father cares for you just as much. And I believe with all my heart that if we just look to him, that he'll speak to our hearts, or if he needs to, he'll rearrange and make things better so that our lives can be what he intended them to be. But it is imperative that we follow him. You know, if you don't listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying, you're just in trouble. But thank God we don't have to be. Can you say amen? Now, look with me. Now I'll get back to my John chapter 14, and we'll talk about how it is that that happens. Notice in John chapter 14, I tell you what, I get thrilled with the Word of God. And as I read, I come to know and understand more about the nature of our Heavenly Father and how much it is that he loves us, how much he cares for us, how much he wants the best for us as his people. You know, Jesus made that comparison. He said, which of you, being natural, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, you know, he said, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I'm telling you what, he has your interests at heart. Amen. In every aspect of your life, it doesn't make any difference if it's relational, if it's your health, if it's your financial situation, whatever it is, I'm telling you what, God's right in the middle of it if we will let him be a part of that. And I tell you what, praise God, I don't know about you, but I think it's smart if we do. Yeah, amen. So notice here, when Jesus was talking again in chapter 14, verse 1, again he starts, now you know as well as I do, the chapters in the Bible are set there as a matter of reference for us. But notice here in verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. We've heard that already tonight, isn't it? You don't let your heart be troubled. You say, well, Pastor, that's a little more... It's easier said than done. I understand that, because sometimes there are storms that come to our life, and some of them unexpected, some of them are self-imposed or self-induced. I mean, we made mistakes. How many of you ever made a mistake? Aren't you glad that Jesus forgives us? Amen, that there is repentance with him, and that we can get ourselves back into right relationship with him, get on the right side of whatever it is that's going on in our lives. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, you know, I would have told you. And basically, he's just talking, it's kind of a farewell message. Farewell in the sense of his physical absence from them, you know. And he goes on then to say, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. Aren't you glad he's coming again? I'm telling you, church, he's coming again. And the culmination of all things, we stand on the threshold of his second return. Hallelujah. The Bible says we don't know the hour or the day, but I tell you, we at least know in generality that we are close. Hallelujah. And he said, I'll come again for you. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say that he will receive us unto himself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we got a lot to look forward to. How many of you are glad for that tonight? Amen. And so we can rejoice in that. But in the meantime, if you're a Western kind of guy, back at the pass, you know, where we're living, what we're having to deal with right now, he still gives us instruction. Hallelujah. As to how it is that we're supposed to live while we're here. So he goes on in this chapter talking about a number of different things. And I want you to notice, particularly in verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you know, Jesus only really gave us one commandment, and that is to love one another and to love one another, even as ourselves, right? And to love God. So the one commandment that we have that fulfills all the righteous requirements of the law is that we love one another, or to walk in love. So he said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. We could say it this way, that if you love me, do what I tell you. In other words, keep the word. In other words, do the word. Now again, sometimes that's easier said than done, but we're all working on that, right? I mean, we're a product that is on its way. Hallelujah. He's not through with us, and so we can thank God for that. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray or ask the Father. How many of you believe Jesus got his prayers answered? I think so. Amen. He said, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Hallelujah. In other words, one of the same sort. How many of you know that Jesus was a comfort to the disciples? Huh? Well, he's a comfort to us today. But he said, I'm going to give you another comforter, one of the same sort, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says there. He said, I'll give you another comforter in verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. Praise God. You know, sometimes people, you know, he said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Sometimes we get in hard spots in our lives and we think, God, where are you? Well, he's same place he's always been. Yeah, he's with us, he's for us, and he is in us, and he's on our side. Aren't you glad for that tonight? You know, so much of the time, things, when they come against us, you know, we have this tendency, I think, in our own natural way of thinking that somehow or another God is, you know, against us. God is not against you. Paul said, if God be for you, who can be against you? So he's on our side no matter what it is that's going on. We may not understand everything that's going on, but thank God, the last thing you want to do is separate yourself from the source that gives you what you need to overcome. So it's important for us in our thinking and our understanding along these lines. So he said, I'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So he identifies the comforter and he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot, King James says, receive, could say accept, you know, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. You know, when you talk about, you know, when you share your faith about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a lot of times the world, they can't get their head wrapped around that. Why? Because they're conditioned by everything that is around them and what it is that they see. And you're asking them to look at something that they can't see. And of course, that's kind of a challenge. But notice what it goes on to say here. He says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or accept because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And of course, we know that after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says that he breathed upon the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In other words, the new birth or being born of the Spirit of God happened at that moment. The church was born at that moment. And so, of course, now here we are, thousands of years past that, and a lot of people, praise God, have had the breath of God upon their lives and been born of the Spirit of God. So it goes on then to say, in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Or in other words, I won't leave you without aid. I'm going to come to you. Well, we know that all that was all accomplished after the resurrection when the Spirit of God came upon the disciples and every other person that chose to believe on him. And so thank God today in our generation, we have this, you know, wonderful privilege of being led by the Holy Ghost and led by the Spirit of God because he dwells on the inside of us. So the question I was going to ask you this evening is just a simple one. Can the child of God, the believer, the one who's been born again, expect to be led by the Spirit of God in all the affairs of life? And the answer is emphatically yes. We all can. You say, well, how do I know when I'm being led? You know, if you never get anything else out of the message I share with you tonight, you know, the best thing that you can always learn is to follow after peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace. And if you're trying to make a decision, you don't have peace, maybe you need to hold her up just a little bit. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, let the peace of God serve as the umpire. You know, the guy that stands behind the bag, you know, there when we're playing baseball and that type of thing, he's calling, you know, balls and strikes and things. A little controversy about that right now. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. But thank God the Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. But peace is what is the most important aspect to the believers being led by the Spirit of God. Because throughout the scriptures, you know, we see all of this. I'm leaving you my peace. Jesus never got stirred up. I mean, this man had everyone and everything come against him to try to destroy his life. And never once do you witness in the Gospels that he was going, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Not once. He always looked to his Father. Praise God. Just like the example that I gave to you about the deal with Lazarus. He said, aren't there 12 hours in the day? If you walk in the light, you'll be all right. And you know what? This evening, dear friends, if you walk in the light of the word, you'll be all right. Amen. Everybody say it's going to be okay. And it really is. I'm not, you know, I mean, you know, it truly, really is. And so we just need to know that where our personal lives are concerned. So, yes, we can be led by the Spirit of God. In fact, it is the intent of our Heavenly Father to lead us, lead all of us as his children by the Holy Spirit in all of the natural and spiritual affairs of life. That's one of the major reasons why he sent the Holy Spirit. And really, you know, when it boils right down to it, you guys, the real issue is our willingness to listen. How many of you, there's been times when he's tried to guide you and you didn't listen? Oh, yeah. Oh, ouch. Yeah. Now, if you've never had that happen before, after the service, we're going to have a line and we're going to pray for liars. Because if you're born again, there's been times when he's probably asked you not to do that or do this or whatever. You know, sometimes it's a little hard to love the unlovely. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And yet he said that we are to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, even as Christ loved us. Amen. So maybe maybe our batting average isn't the best, but you know what? Keep swinging the bat. Get better. Hallelujah. And if you do, then I know that you'll be blessed as a result of it. So again, really, it's our willingness to listen. Everybody say listen. Yeah, if we will just listen, he will lead us in the way that we should go. Now, let's go back to chapter 10 in John, because there's a lot of great stuff in here. Hallelujah. And let's notice here in chapter 10, Jesus is talking about who he is as the shepherd of the sheep and the sheepfold and different things of that nature. And he says, let's jump in John chapter 10 and verse 2. It says, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's talking about himself. Verse 3, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And, listen to this, says he hears the voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Everybody say, I follow him. Yeah, amen. The sheep follow him. That's the whole thing about listening. For or because they know his voice. You know, so how many of you ever question whether or not you're hearing God or not? Well, you know, I think that that's something that is legitimate for all of us. You know, but again, there are certain aspects of his leadership and his guidance in our heart. If we learn, you know, I mean, I think sometimes we don't give ourselves enough rope, if you want to call it that, or room, because yeah, there's going to be mistakes, but you know, we want to get better. You know, now let me say this, you know, God always leads us in line with his word. So if it doesn't line up with the word, then of course it's not God. But yet right on the other hand, we can learn to listen and also to obey. But notice here in verse 3 again, he says this, he says in the latter part of that, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for, again, or because they know his voice. So you and I have the privilege, praise God, to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So the question then would have to be then asked, well, how does he lead? How is it that he leads us in the context of what it is that we're talking about? Does he lead us from our circumstances? Some current circumstance, well, this must be God. Well, you know, that can be a little bit questionable, because sometimes the God of this world, our adversary, can create circumstances to cause problems for us. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So it isn't necessarily circumstance. Is it a feeling that you currently have? That must be God. I just feel, you know, this or that or the other. I remember one time my wife and I were, well, we were young in ministry. We were just getting started in our 20s. And we had this gal, and she was in a relationship with a guy. And there were just qualities and characteristics that we were able to recognize that were not necessarily healthy. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure if the man was even born again. Well, anyway, we couldn't talk her out of giving this a little bit of a pause before she decided to get into a marriage relationship with the guy. And she made the statement, well, I just feel, you know, that this is right and that I should do this. Well, she was following the wrong feelings, because what she was feeling was inconsistent with what the Bible had to say. Well, sad to say, she did go ahead and marry the man, and it wasn't too long after that, you know, that they ended up getting a divorce. And it could have been so much better if she would have listened. And I think she knew. How many of you know we know most of the time? There was another incident talking about, you know, people and relationships and things, and we were married. The church hadn't started yet, but we were leading a Bible study, and we had a bunch of young people that we were ministering to and leading, you know, on a weekly basis. And one of the individuals, one of the guys, just happened to come up to me, and he made the statement, "What do you think about dating?" I think that was the word. Yeah, it wasn't Mary. What do you think about dating unbelievers? Well, you know, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what, you know, fellowship has righteousness with unrighteous, so on and so forth. And you know, I was actually kind of taken back by the question, you know. And so I didn't really have an answer. But all of a sudden, right up out of the inside of me, I heard these words. And so I said, I don't know. What do you think about it? Because the reality is, he knew. But what he wanted was my approval of what it is that he wanted to do. Are you listening to me? How many of you know sometimes we want things our way and they're not necessarily the right way? Huh? Yeah, sure enough. Well, and so I just said, and you know, Jesus was so in the habit of answering a question with a question, you know? So I couldn't have come up with that on my own if I'd have tried. But yet I said, I don't know. What do you think about it? Because he knew. Well, then he kind of hem-hawed around. Well, again, he ended up marrying that person, and it turned out to be a disaster, you know. And I wish I had some good testimonies about somebody that listened to, you know, so we could all be encouraged. But you know, I'm just saying that there is a way that seems right unto men, but yet the end of it is not good. So we have to be willing and obedient and listen. And again, that's not always easy, because we do have our own desires. But I mean, you know, God's not against us. He's for us. He wanted his best for that girl, and he wanted his best for that guy, you know. But again, we have to be, you know, willing to listen and say, no, we're not doing that. You know, we're not going to go there. And if we do, then thank God, the blessing of God comes. So it's not necessarily feelings, because feelings, you know, they're so fickle. I mean, the reality is they can change. They're so temporal in their nature. Do we, when we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, is it what other people are saying, their opinions? Well, you know, the Bible does teach us in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. So I don't think in and of itself, you know, that it's bad to ask the advice of others. But I think it's kind of important that we make sure that what it is that they're telling us lines up with the Bible. Huh? You know, because again, you know, you can end up being led down. Well, let me tell you all about that. I got all this down, you know, and I know all about that, you know. Well, usually maybe that isn't the right person that you should listen to. you know. So you understand that. Certainly it's not, or another thing that I came up with about being led is it coincidences, you know, that occur in our lives? Well, again, you know, some things that happen in our lives, they're not coincidence. I mean, sometimes they are by divine design. But yet, right on the other hand, there are those things that seem like it must be God. But until we have that unction or that witness or that, call it peace, on the inside of us, we need to be very careful about that. Does that make sense to you? You know, because he dwells in you. If we're, again, if we're born of the Spirit of God, he's in us and he wants to guide us. And you know what? God is never in a hurry. If you're not sure, just put a little hole. See, the adversary of our soul loves to push. You know, push, get you to make a decision, you know, do something, you know. So, you know, you got to say, well, no, I'm not quite ready for that. Well, even like Jesus, you know, in that deal with Lazarus, you know, he still stayed 2 or 3 days where he was. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He wasn't anxious about, oh, I got to get back there and do something because the guy could die, you know, or whatever the case might be. Well, sometimes, you know, the devil will do the same. Well, you better make this decision. You better pull that trigger. You better do this. You better do that. You better, you know, if you don't have peace, don't do it. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Follow the Holy Ghost. And if you never do get peace, say, well, you know, that's on hold. You know, until we hear from heaven, because God wants us to do that. So being led by him in these ways, it isn't about feelings, circumstances, coincidence necessarily. It's not even religious traditions. You know, I came out of a mainline denominational church, and my folks made sure that I went to Sunday school, and I got all the pins to prove my attendance, and that's all good, you know. And went through the things that was required of the church, you know, for me to be confirmed, which unfortunately I have to say I didn't make it. I was close, but I didn't make it, okay? And it really wouldn't have made any difference anyway because I didn't have a relationship with Christ. And it wasn't until I was 19 years of age that I got born of the Spirit of God. Somebody told me the truth. You know, I got enough of the word on the inside of me that I could get saved. Hallelujah. And so thank God for that. Amen. So religious traditions, that's not necessarily what necessarily guides us. You know, some of the traditions of men, they're not even biblical, you know, so we can't necessarily go by those things. So is there something else that we should be looking at, something else that we should recognize, or something else that we should be conscious of, something that is more secure, more concrete, more reliable? And I'd like to suggest to you that there certainly is. Hallelujah. And that is the Spirit of God on the inside of you. How many, any of you ever been lost before? You know, my son tells a story. He was on his way back to Tulsa to Bible school. I don't know. He made a wrong turn and ended up on out in a reservoir in some, you know, park someplace up on the dike, you know. And I mean, he was really lost. But I remember another occasion. We were on our way to Montana, and we were driving down the road, and we went blowing past the place that we were supposed to turn. And so we're just, you know, we're having a great time. We're excited. When I say we, I'm talking about myself and my boys and my son-in-law. We were going, I hope you're not offended by this. We were going prairie dog hunting. We're out there to help the ranchers. We're doing our part to, you know, mitigate problems, okay? So anyway, and man, we ended up in no man's land. You know, we were going down this blacktop road, and it was in the right direction, granted. But pretty soon, the blacktop turned into sand, gravel. I just bought a new trailer. I wasn't driving it down there to get it sandblasted. It wouldn't have been the same color by the time we got done. So my point to that, and talking about being lost, you know, a lot of times when it comes to, you know, God, is this really where you want us to go? Is this really what you want us to do? There are times when God say, you need to go back to the fork in the road and go down the right road that I told you to go down in the first place. And that's exactly what we ended up having to do. Now, it probably cost us a couple hours, maybe three, something like that. But we ended up where we wanted to go. but we went the right direction going there. And so I just encourage you, you know, there's a lot of things that I could talk to you about here. I'll just share two more scriptures with you and then we'll close. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and let me show you this verse of scripture. God wants us to be led by this third person of the Trinity called the Comforter. Hallelujah. And notice with me in Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And if you look this up in the Greek, the word sons there means the adult sons of God. So what's that mean? You know, when we get saved, we are the sons of God, but we may be in an infancy stage, you know, maybe baby Christians, things like that. And God wants us to learn to be led by Him so that we can become the sons or the adult sons of God. It goes on to say, "For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Aren't you glad tonight you don't have to be afraid? Hallelujah. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. "But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father," or Daddy, Father. The spirit, now the King James says itself, but you know, the Holy Ghost is not an it. He's actually a divine personality. So you really should read, "The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit or our heart that we are the children of God." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Then it goes on to say, you know, children, then heirs, and so on and so forth. So I'm just saying that God wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. And in Proverbs, I'll just quote the verse for you, Proverbs 20 and 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." So what that simply means is that God will enlighten us and He will guide us by the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And there's a lot more that we could talk about as far as the threefold nature of man, but we're up on our 8 o'clock hour and we're about to be done. So let me just say this to you in closing, you know, that God wants the very best for you. And don't ever let anyone tell you any different. He cares for you, casting all of your care onto Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So he doesn't want you to be anxious. He doesn't want you to be fearful. He doesn't want you to be filled with worry. Worry is the unhealthy child of doubt and unbelief. And so it's important for us to get away from all of that and say, "God, you are my provider. You are the one who guides me. You will lead me in the way that you would have me to go." And I'll guarantee you this much. I mean, it's a whole lot better way to live. Now, we will be tempted, you know. If you're living and breathing, you're on this planet, dude, you're going to get tempted. There's no question about that. But yet, right on the other hand, thank God we've got the privilege to pass those things up. Say, "No, don't believe so. You know, just passez-vous. You know, you can go to someplace else or someone else. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe Him." And I believe if you do, you'll be blessed. Can you say amen? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you again tonight for this just this time that we've been able to have, Father, to break the bread of life, to look into the perfect law of liberty, to find what it is, Father, that you have prescribed for us as your children. Father, I pray tonight for those that are here within the sound of my voice and perhaps those watching online that if worry, if care, anxiety, fear has somehow tried to grasp and take hold of their hearts, Father, that in this moment right now, Father, that they as an act of their will would cast all their care onto you because you care for them. Father, I ask you by the Spirit of God just to help them to say, "Lord, I don't have a care because you said that I could cast my care onto you." So as an act of my will, my choice is tonight not to be fearful. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the house. Father, we're living in the last days, and you said that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So let the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds. Let it serve as a witness to a world, Father, that is crumbling and is in so much need of you. And so, Father God, I thank you for strengthening the saints. Oh, Lord God, let them have a good report. Hallelujah. And be encouraged in what it is that you promised. And I thank you, Father, that in the days, the weeks, and even months ahead, that, Father, you will lead us, you will guide us, You will show us what it is that needs to be done, what it is that we need to do, and that, Father God, you'll get the glory. And so we thank you for your blessing tonight in the house. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Well, how many of you are glad you came tonight? You know, every once in a while we need to hear the word. Praise God. The entrance of his word gives light and gives illumination and understanding. Praise God. So, you know, we hear so much, you know, in the world around us that really isn't of much good, really. Actually, kind of unhealthy. And but thank God we can come and get into the, you know, if you want to call it an oasis or a place where we can just enjoy one another's company, those of like precious faith. I don't know about you, but I like being around believers. Amen. And so thank God for that. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and receive our evening offering.